Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Full Press NFL Podcast. That's right. The NFL draft is over. It's in the books. Every team sucks, and every team is also going to win the Super Bowl. This is the great part of this time of the offseason, because there's hope for everyone. There's hope for everyone. Well, maybe not everyone. Maybe the Lions. Maybe you have to redefine what hope actually means if you're a Detroit Lions fan. But nonetheless, there is a lot of hope out there and a lot of excited fan bases and a lot of very miserable fan bases for no apparent reason other than their mock drafts were wrong and they have no other way to cope with it. So just because the draft is over, just ended, doesn't mean that's what we're going to be focusing on. We actually have some very non-surprising, very expected news. Tyrann Mathieu, safety, signs with the New Orleans Saints. He heads back to Louisiana where he spent college and he grew up in New Orleans. And there's no better way to discuss that acquisition than to bring on our FPC Chiefs managing editor, Braden Holosek. Braden, what are the Saints getting in Mathieu? We're both fans of him. I think, you know, the Chiefs obviously are going to miss a lot of what he brings. What is he going to bring to the Saints?
Yeah, I think overall, I mean, I think it's just probably the leadership and versatility kind of combining into one. I think being able to move him around the defensive formation, and I think kind of having what they already got there in Chauncey Gardner-Johnson is, I think that's going to complement that really well. And maybe took a little bit of a step back last season in terms of ball production, but I think you kind of look at how he was used in Kansas City last year a little bit differently. I don't think that'll necessarily always go away. So I think just a guy that you know you can kind of move him around the defensive formation is going to be kind of a tough leader, whether it's in the locker room or just on the field, and being able to kind of make those game-changing plays at the crucial moments.
And that seems especially important for a team that is really going through a transition right now. Obviously, Sean Payton walked away this year. Drew Brees the year before. You have Jameis Winston coming back, but I still think, and it's very warranted, I still think there's plenty of questions about his long-term prospects. Obviously, I think they've accepted the fact that they swung and missed on the Taysom Hill experiment, whatever you want to call it. I don't know if they see that as I don't think anyone outside of Sean Payton might have seen that as a valuable asset, but this team is adjusting, they're transitioning, and to your point, maybe Tyrann Mathieu isn't quite the ball hawk that he was, or you know, having the ability as he ages, but to go to a team that, like I said, he went to college at LSU, grew up in New Orleans. There's a lot of familiarity there. And for a team, like I said, that needs to grow and redefine who they are, he could be a perfect piece to help push that forward. And I think, look, no player in the league is going to sit there and accept that, you know, maybe this team isn't as good. I mean, certainly, I don't think anyone believes they're as good as Kansas City, so he's certainly taking a step back in that sense. You know, the Saints obviously showed a lot of promise on defense last year, but, you know, it's a little bit different makeup on the defensive side. But you add Mathieu, and I think that's obviously going to impact them. The Saints team, I don't... Certainly, the NFC is not as, on paper right now, as competitive as the AFC. But I don't know where exactly this moves the needle for New Orleans, because, you know, regardless of what they do on defense, whoever they add, I still don't know about their quarterback. So what kind of immediate impact do you think this move might have? And is there any realistic possibility that, you know, maybe the Saints recapture that early defensive magic and really kind of ride that next season that they had last year? Because remember, they held two pretty good quarterbacks to very little points in two different games. So,
yeah, I guess in terms of immediate impact, I guess kind of the turnovers and I think just probably third down defense. Mm-hmm. I think those kind of areas is where I would kind of look to where maybe this moves the needle for New Orleans. But yeah, I think that's the thing. Like, I think in the NFC, I think New Orleans, like you said, I don't think a lot of people on the outside believe they can compete, but I think they think they can still make a wild card run. So I think with the defense, like you said, that riding that wave, I think they're kind of not necessarily hoping, but I think I think understanding that they have to kind of continue to stockpile the defensive back room in the secondary, because not just Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, like I mentioned earlier, but I think you look at somebody like Marshawn Lattimore, Marcus May, who they brought in this year. These are two guys that aren't necessarily coming off their best season. So kind of as a secondary in this group, they're really looking to kind of bank on, I think, just getting back to what they were used to a couple few years ago. And I think just the turnovers and the third down defense, I think that's kind of where this can kind of help them out.
Yeah, and look, I mean, if you're going to build up any side of your team in a division that has to go up against Tom Brady and the Bucs offense twice a year, it better be the defense, because, you know, that's how you beat. And look, the Saints are the one team that haven't had an issue, unless it's the playoffs, with facing the Buccaneers. So, you know, maybe just keep doing what they're doing, but adding more playmakers and adding more difference makers, both on and off the field, in the case of Tyrann Mathieu, is very important. So, yeah, we don't, as of right now, as of this recording, we haven't found any contract details. We'll try to obviously, you know, discuss them if it happens to pop up while we're recording this podcast. But right now, I'm sure the price is modest. I don't believe that he probably broke the bank. Obviously, you know, ability's fallen off a little bit, but I do think there is a huge hometown, not discount, but feel to this, where,
yeah,
you know, if you're going to end your career elsewhere, if it's not with the Kansas City Chiefs, it might as well be with the team that, you know, you spent years going to college and all that. So it'll be interesting to see that. Now, before we get to the Chiefs, though, I'm going to throw a little fastball, a little curveball on you, because I haven't had a chance to discuss this with anyone yet. And those out there that were obviously watching the draft saw this happen. I was amongst some Eagles fans the moment this trade went down. But we had the trade of two Browns, AJ and Marquise. Which team got the best deal? And this could be the team trading one of those players or acquiring one of them. So the Eagles acquired AJ Brown. The Cardinals, Marquise Brown. Who won that?
Oh man. It's interesting that you throw the fact that who they traded away. Cause I would almost say the Baltimore Ravens, maybe getting rid of Marquise, might actually be, I think, the team that got the best end of either of these two deals. I think just the fact they got a first round pick for him first off is pretty amazing. But I think just it's kind of an offense that you necessarily don't have to have maybe the elite of the elite at the wide receiver position with Lamar Jackson running the show. So I guess if you throw that kind of side of it into things, I'd probably go Baltimore. But for the two teams that acquired a wide receiver, I'd probably go the Eagles, just because we know they're wanting to see what Jalen Hurts has one more year, maybe before if they have to make a bigger decision. And I think that, you know, AJ Brown, that kind of skill set, it's definitely different than what they've had with other wide receivers. They continuously tried to plug in there, whether it's Jalen Reagor, Devontae Smith. So I think that's a fascinating part of it for him, is just kind of a different mold that Philadelphia hasn't had early on with Nick Sirianni.
And yet Debo Samuel remains a San Francisco 49er. When we come back, we're going to take a brief break, just a couple minutes. We're going to talk a little Kansas City Chiefs before we wrap this up. So stay tuned, and we will be right back. All right, welcome back to the Full Press NFL Podcast. We're here with Braden Holosek, our FPC Chiefs Managing Editor. I am your host, Ian Glendon, and we're talking Tyrann Mathieu, we're talking the Browns, AJ, and Marquise. But now we're going to talk to Kansas City Chiefs, because, hey, we got our Chiefs expert here, so we might as well pick his brain about the Chiefs draft and the very recent signing of former first-round prospect Justin Ross, which, again, is a fascinating, you know, if you buy into the potential, if you buy into the freshman season that he had, this could be a potential huge steal for the Chiefs, and certainly one that's going to help offset the loss of Tyreek Hill this offseason. So you can either start right there, Braden, or you can just give me your thoughts in general about this draft. Because first of all, I know one guy, Mr. McDuffie, that had your eye for quite some time. You were pretty happy about that. So the Chiefs, what do you take away from their draft weekend in Vegas?
Yeah, I guess I'll start with Justin Ross, since that's kind of the more recent one. Obviously, very, I guess, specific medical issues with the neck. So I think, you know, teams, I think, were very obviously scared of that, not to draft him. But I think it's going to be interesting to see what kind of shape he's in, I guess, first and foremost. And like you said, if it ends up being a steal for Kansas City, I think you'll kind of see that more in terms of just his work ethic. And I think just his drive more than anything. I mean, how quickly he kind of rose to the ranks there in Clemson was pretty impressive given what other talent was kind of around him. So definitely a guy that I think just from a competition standpoint, Kansas City invites that, I think, very urgently right now after losing Tyreek Hill and a couple other minor pieces. But yeah, I think kind of the couple headlines that stood out to me for the Chiefs draft entirely, I think it's just rebuilding the defense. You know, Brett Veach kind of obviously rebuilt the offensive line the year before. So this year the theme was obviously defense, but I think the fact that 5 of the 7 defensive picks were DBs really stands out to me. And kind of talking on the latest FPC Chiefs podcast episode today, I think it's something that I would rather go down. You know, I think if you're talking coverage versus pass rush, I'd kind of fall under the line of building the secondary more than necessarily the pass rush personally, just because I think you're seeing a lot more teams having to play in sub, having to play in dime package, you know, pass, getting a lot more speed on field. So for a team that hasn't necessarily invested a lot in the secondaries, really just, I think, more refreshing than anything to kind of see that. And Trent McDuffie's a guy that I think even some of the Kansas City front office personnel said it, they didn't really expect him to be on the board as long as he was. So I think in terms of that value, I mean, he's not necessarily got the length that their Steve Spagnuolo corner had. I think the way in which he plays definitely mitigates that. A very physical guy, and definitely the athleticism. I mean, that's something that is a lot more prevalent than maybe some other cornerbacks they've had. So I think that's just a headline, is rebuilding the defense and not necessarily in the way a lot of other teams will, with athleticism first and foremost, but I think just a lot more physical and guys that I think you're kind of knowing what exactly they are. Whereas you kind of look at some older defensive guys, they lost Daniel Sorensen, Ben Neiman, some of these guys that had kind of run their course. I mean, you just kind of knew the limitations they had, where with these guys, I think they're a lot more maybe safe, consensus there for the defense. So that's kind of my main takeaway. But I mean, my favorite pick of all has to probably be Sky Moore, just because I don't know if there was a better team player fit that he could have had. I mean, there's a lot of other offenses that can kind of use him in a versatile way that I'm sure Kansas City will. But I think in terms of just quarterback coach and the offensive scheme, I don't know if there's a better place to where Sky Moore could have went.
Yeah, you stole the words right out of my mouth. That was the next thing I was going to, because I knew you liked a few players, but I don't think you liked anyone more than Sky Moore. And I know you, as soon as that pick came through, that was the first thing I thought of. So, no, but to your point, though, you look at the landscape, not only of the AFC, but the division, or not only the AFC, but also just the NFL, but specifically this division, where you have a lot of elite quarterbacks and elite offenses in general. And, you know, that's where we see, you know, maybe the Chiefs, again, maybe they're not as explosive, but I'd like to see, if you're a Chiefs fan, more methodical approach to how they do offense, because you don't have that Tyreek Hill anymore. And, you know, as great as Travis Kelce is, he's getting up there in age. So at any point, you know, the advantages he has may not be as pronounced as they were in the past, even, you know, especially with Tyreek Hill not being there as well. So the Chiefs have to reinvent themselves. So they have talent on offense and I believe, obviously, they do believe in their quarterback. The fans believe in the quarterback. A lot of people believe in the quarterback. Build that defense up and make sure that even on maybe the offense struggles, maybe on their worst day, they're still in these games. And maybe it does take a little bit of time to reinvent themselves, because it's not easy to do that overnight. But this offense will be fine. You know, you just can't do things the same exact way. The good thing for the Chiefs is, well, they have a guy, a coach, who knows how to do things differently and reinvent that offense and go forward. So I like what they've done. Obviously, you know, save judgment on the draft class until we actually see them play. I mean, we've right. You know, we can be excited like we all are for different players, and you know, we can only judge based on what we've seen already, but success versus failure is indeterminate at this point, because we really just, again, don't know until they get on the field. But I think just when it comes to proven NFL talent, I think the Chiefs have done a nice job in terms of filling some of those gaps and filling those holes left by the absence of Tyreek Hill. But, you know, again, let's see. Let's hope, if you're a Chiefs fan, that, you know, the sky more. I know you're hoping for sky more, you know, to the sky, right, you know? and, of course, if Justin Ross, again, stays healthy, that's really the biggest thing about this, is if he can stay healthy and it's not a serious threat to his, you know, long-term health, you know, he could potentially be a huge get for this Kansas City Chiefs team. So, Braden, I want to thank you very much for tuning in or joining us. I want to thank the listeners for tuning in, and be sure to follow this podcast. You can find all the episodes on Apple, on Spotify, on the Full Press NFL or Full Press Coverage app, available now on the Apple and Google Play stores. And, of course, go to fullpresscoverage.com, and you can find it all over the place. So, thank you, everyone, and be tuned. Stay tuned for a new episode coming up in the next day or so as we break down more of the NFL draft and all that fun stuff. Thank you, everyone, and we'll talk to you later.